Welcome to Makers Figuring It Out, a show where we strive to educate, motivate, inspire makers of all skill levels with tips and tricks, do's and don'ts, and many things in between. I'm Steve Huber from Wolf Woodworking Creations, and joining me from New Orleans is my good friend Jacob from Native Son Wood Art. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Steve?
You know, it's been one of those weeks, but it's been a good week. So,
good week.
Yeah, it took. I got one of those DR vacuum for the leaves and stuff, and it's taken me 3 days to put the darn thing together. I don't know why they made the I don't know why they made the sack that catches all the leaves so tight on the frame. It was just a pain.
Would you say that you finally figured it out?
I would. No, I still haven't figured it out. I really haven't. It's still.
Damn it, Steve! Way to kill a vibe.
I know. It's still not right though. I'll get it. I'll figure it out. It's just gonna take a little bit longer. But
you'll
that's
figure
what
it out. I don't even know.
Yeah. So how's the job going?
Job's going all right. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I've been kind of stressed lately with just the amount of shit that I've been having to do at my job lately. It's been a lot, and I've been kind of stressed out a little more than extra lately. My girl, thank God for her, and big shout out to her because I love her so much. She's been super supportive, and I texted her the other day, like, "Hey, I'm just kind of having a really bad day, and I just feel off, like I'm almost feeling on the verge of tears, and I'm just been, you know," she's like, "You know, you've been working a lot, and kind of holding it in, you know, whatever you want to do." She's great, she always takes care of me, and I really, God, I can't say how much I love and appreciate her enough because she's truly like my rock in this life and helps me kind of get on. So
I thought you said get on. Never mind. My mind went somewhere else.
What? Way to ruin a moment, Steve. God damn it. I'm trying to have a serious moment here and tell my woman how much I love her in like the kindest professional way possible. But you just fuck it up. Damn it. Make a note of that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make a note of it. Yep.
So she's been helping me a great deal, and I've been able to get some shop time in, so that's been nice, you know, to be able to have that therapy and get my zen on and kind of leave, forget the rest of the world, and just have my own time away from everything to kind of focus in and de-stress. So that's been a blessing as well.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like to have a woman that really treats you well. It's sad.
I mean you're 0-3, so
pretty much, yeah. But, yeah, who knows? God has a plan for me. Whatever that is, he's the only one that knows because I sure as hell don't.
That's true.
Yep. So, Jacob, we want to let everybody know that you can, if you want to support the show, you can find us someplace. What is it called, Jacob?
Well, you can find us on Buy Me a Coffee. You can support us directly through there or support us directly through Anchor. But if you don't want to support us directly, you'd rather have something a little bit physical, you can support us on Teespring, get one of our really cool shirts. You can get one of our hashtag get laid shirts.
Laid.
That's what I said.
You gotta take out the TH. You gotta make it longer because it sounds like you're saying get laid. I know what's on your mind, man. I know what's on your mind.
Shut up.
This is a clean show. Ish.
Mm-hmm. Cleanish. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cleanish. And I already had to
cleanish,
write
that. I do like the design that you came up with. As I'm not a maker, but I play one on YouTube. That I love that design a lot. I love that saying.
Yep, that's coming. Actually, I should be receiving the test runs of that here shortly. So
yeah, that was a great design. So
thanks.
We appreciate all the listeners, and if you want to support us and help. You know, help us continue to do the show, bring you, you know, great content and great guests. We really, truly appreciate you. And if you can't do that, you know, just listening, reviewing the show and sharing the show helps us a great deal.
Yeah, we haven't really had any reviews in a very long time. The last one I think we had was, who was it? First New Woodworks.
Yeah,
I think it's been a while. So we would really appreciate it because you know, we're coming up on episode 52, 1 year, and Jacob Jacob and I actually just celebrated our friendiversary. Is that what you called it?
for anniversary. Like, why do you gotta make it weird? Why do you gotta say it like that?
I don't know. It's just weird. I'm just like, we've been friends for over a year, so happy friendship.
Yep.
Ish.
Happy.
Day. Whatever. So exactly. today on the show, we do have a guest. He is a former volunteer firefighter, now a professional firefighter for the city of St. Louis. Fortunately, ladies, he's already taken. He's got a beautiful wife named Angie and a daughter named Bailey. And we can't forget the rescue pup. And that would be Jitterbug, right? Jitterbug is Jitterbug. For short. Yep. Jitterbug. He, like me, does suffer from anxiety and depression. So we'll probably be talking about that a little bit. But I know why he suffers from that, because he's a St. Louis Blues hockey fan. So that would make anybody kind of.
Oh, wow.
That would make anybody kind of depressed. And he got his sign. He got his start work making a welcome sign for a family member. I think it was a family member or a friend. And now he makes so many different signs for other people without using a CNC. And you can find him on Instagram, YouTube, and on his website at oldmanbaysigns.com. Friends, meet Matt Bay of Matt. You know, I just said his name.
Hello, everyone.
We're pretty hey, professional
hey,
here.
Hey, how you doing, Matt?
I'm doing well. I want to correct you for just a minute, if I can, though.
Be my guest.
So I was actually a firefighter. I started when I was 16 years old, and I was a professional firefighter for over 25 years. I did not work for the city of St. Louis. I worked in the suburb of St. Louis.
St. Clair?
Oh, okay.
Well, no, that's where I actually started.
Oh, okay.
And I was hired. It's a little community in the suburb of St. Louis.
Okay.
We're going to get into that later, I'm sure. Right. But that took me out of the game. So, and gotcha. That's actually why I got into sign making.
Okay. All
right.
Makes sense.
So I just wanted to clarify all that.
That's okay.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean.
Yeah, we love when my guests correct me.
Sorry.
Steve.
There goes my back. There goes my research.
Steve needs work. Needs work. But a good attempt. Good first attempt. Good first attempt.
Thanks, man. Bite me.
Never gone. So, Matt, hi. Thanks for being on, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We were talking before in the pre-show and kind of getting to know each other. It's not your first podcast that you've been on. I know we spoke about that. And really, you know, you started with the hand-routed sign. Well, actually, you started with a scroll saw, right? And then you found like the limitations of that. And then you got into hand routing with a palm router, not CNC. You want to elaborate on that a little bit for us?
Yeah, actually. So, I started with a scroll saw, and then I started using a Dremel tool, and I was doing some pretty elaborate stuff at that point, but then it was, it was tough with the Dremel tool. So, and you know, the little bits for those are like $8 a piece. And I was going through them like crazy. Like, there's gotta be a better way than that. So then of course, just like everybody else, I went on YouTube and started doing some research, and, I found a guy, makeitwoodsign.com, Eric Roten, who has, makeitwoodsign.com. Found his YouTube channel and learned from him, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go get a router. So that's how I got into the routing.
Very cool, very cool. So why haven't you started doing it with the CNC instead of just a router? Because it's less expensive that way, or was it just because it's unique?
You know, it's actually, there's, I find, and I don't have a hatred to CNCs. I just think that when you say something's handcrafted, I don't want something. And I've had people tell me with my products that they don't want something that's absolutely perfect. Now there's situations for that, I'm sure, but to be handcrafted, handmade, and as a sign carver, and there's many of us out there, to have somebody look at your work and say, oh, was that done on a CNC? And I'm like, and I've said it in many the podcasts and the interviews I've done, and this is what I say: yes, C and C. I'm gonna get that C on each hand tattooed. C
exactly. And C. There you go. That'd be awesome.
But yeah, that's the highest compliment you can get, right?
But yeah, I agree with you. Like when you say that something is like handcrafted, done by hand, tends to carry a bit more weight with it, or at least a bit more. It tends to be a bit more impressive, right? You know, because like, you know, with the CNC, and not to knock anything with the CNC, well, we just got one at the Makerspace, and I'm excited to actually start using it. But to do being able to do something by hand and with such precision, it's extremely impressive. And yeah, like it just has that much more value in my opinion.
Right. And also, I mean, to be fair, some people will say, oh, wow, okay, you don't use a CNC. Well, I guess I kind of do because I use a Cricut machine, which is a CNC, really, to cut my vinyl for my layouts. I do have a laser. I guess that's a CNC. But when it comes to my carving, to my signs, everything's done by hand. Handwriting.
Yeah, so you're not opposed to technology. You just choose where you want to use it in.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if you don't do that, I think you're silly, really, to because technology is always changing. Like Eric, that basically taught me. He's my mentor. You know, watching his YouTube channels and knowing very well now. And his dad started his business 50 years ago, routing signs. With the big routers, you know, the big Black and Decker routers and that. Now that we're down to Palm routers, but technology's changed and you got to go with that, but you can stay true to your craft as well.
Well, if you, so you're actually making pretty much one of a kind signs, correct? They're specialty signs for everybody, or do you actually batch them out? Not really batch them
out? No, I don't. I did a batch out of some smaller signs. Actually, I just took them down from my website because that was for a craft fair, you know, just to have something out there to sell and then hand out cards.
Right.
But that quickly evolved to, that's not what I would do. Everything I do is pretty much custom. And that's why I really don't have anything here. I don't have much to show you guys because... Right. It goes to the guy, and that's it.
You sell it.
Well, that's not a bad thing.
No.
But, like, what you do have that we were talking about before that we see in your background is the Jim Beam sign that you did. Yeah. And you were explaining a little bit of that to us. Do you want to kind of explain that, how you, the process of that and what you got going on?
The dog's getting ready to go crazy here in just a second.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Jitterbug's mom just got home, so... from work,
no worries.
And her butt does not move, and she goes nuts. So
nice. Well, we either choose to keep this in or edit it out. You know, we'll get back into this. Like Steve was saying, we're very raw on here.
Not that kind of raw.
Where's your mind at, man?
So you're telling us about the Jim Beam sign that you have next to you. That I thought it was really interesting that the actual. I don't know what you would call it, the ribbon you actually made out of wax.
The center.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Jim Beam sign. And I guess that's good to go back to the conversation we were having, batching them out or whatever. If you go on my website or you go into some of my other work, I used to do mostly wood signs, you know, just flat wood signs. And then, And I guess this gets into how did I get it into the whiskey barrels. A friend of ours asked, her husband drinks whiskey, and she wanted to have a sign made from me, and it was a quote by Mark Twain.
Right.
It's on my website, it's on my stuff. So anyway, you can go see that. Anyway, I said, well, man, wouldn't that be cool if you put it on a whiskey barrel, though? And she's like, oh, can you do that? I'm like, I don't know. We could sure try. So.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a local store, got a barrel, tore it down, and glued it up, and did the sign. It was a whopping pain in the butt. I've evolved my process, and I've got it better now, but it came out really cool. And I'm like, man, this is really neat. And then another friend says, hey, man, can you make me one? But I want this quote. And ever since then, that's all I do is whiskey barrel signs. So anyway, yeah, I get a barrel. I have several different types of barrels. I got Jim Beam. I've got Jack Daniels and then a couple other ones. Tear the barrel down and then all the staves, I glue them all up and then hours of sanding. It takes about, oh my God. I listened to one of your podcasts. That is not therapy for me. I hate
therapy. Yeah, he likes sanding. I'm not a fan. Truthfully, I try to get through it as fast as I can.
Actually, I said sharpening was kind of the, if you remember, I said sharpening was also very meditative.
That's right.
I do. Yeah. I mean, sanding is, but not as much as sharpening.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pull this one up. This is, and I can kind of explain to you better a little bit, maybe. So when I glue them up, each stage, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 stages in this one. When I glue them up, they're kind of shaped like that. But you got to remember, a whiskey barrel, once it's dumped, it starts drying out.
Right.
So then they get kind of, one's a little bit higher than the other one. And
right. So they start off like uniform curve, and then as they dry out and they don't have the liquid in them, they shrink at different rates.
That's right. Exactly. Right. So I do something that most woodworkers would say, what are you doing? I use a 40 grit belt sander, and I actually go against the grain and at first to get it all smoothed down and get that, and basically I'm sculpting it at that point just to get the shape of the barrel and then go back through and then finish sanding and all that. So it's like literally hours of sanding.
That reminds me of when I did that jewelry box with the curved door on it. Oh, that was such a pain in the ass. But I can understand where you're coming from. Having those staves now, the barrel is, you only have a portion of the barrel. So don't forget to check out his, that site that you go to look at things.
Yeah, the website.
One of those. Instagram, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah, that too.
That's what I deal with.
Yeah, that too.
This is what I deal with on a daily
Instagram,
basis.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube.
You got it. You got everything. So yours is actually a full barrel that you have cut down. Am I correct?
No.
Okay.
So obviously barrels are individual staves. There's about 32 or so to a barrel. And when you see a cooper make a barrel, it's tight, right?
Right.
It's formed and they're tight and they got the barrel rings around them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That holds it all together. You knock those barrel rings off and once they start getting dry,
they fall apart.
It's shrinking. So they're looser. You knock them barrel rings off and they just fall apart. And of course you got to remember the backsides of the barrels, especially bourbon barrels, to be called a bourbon, it has to be a brand new barrel charred, only used one time to be a bourbon.
Oh, really?
Interesting.
All the backsides of these, you can, I don't know if you, and I know I listened to you, George, say that, you know, Shoshugiban,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is.
Yeah, so it's like the charred, so out here, scaling on the back.
Yeah, there's real thick, I think they call it number 2 char or something like that. Real thick alligator char on here, so I got to get all that off too.
Okay, and that gives gives the whiskey or bourbon the flavor.
Flavor and color, yep.
Flavor and color. And so what are most bourbon barrels made of? Oak?
White oak.
White oak.
White oak. You see more, there's a lot of distilleries that are going with some hybrid stuff and these days trying to get different flavors in that.
Right.
If you get into the wine barrels, I believe that's French oak that are using the wine barrels, but pretty much white oak. And it's kind of funny because I didn't know it until, and I've seen it. I grew up south, or actually I guess west of here, Independent Stave out in Lebanon, Missouri. they're one of the biggest suppliers for most of the bourbon companies, and they're just right down little ways down the highway from here.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny you actually say that the barrels are white oak, and you brought up the wine barrels, because I remember in culinary school we were learning about that, and there's always usually three different woods that were used, and they gave wine very distinct flavors. It was the French oak, like you were saying, American, or I believe it was Hungarian oak, and those are the three different kinds, and you could. Like once you got your palate to a certain point, you'd be able to tell, the French versus the American. The American was very robust, a very strong flavor, and the French was always way more subtle.
Huh.
And I always wondered why that was. But it's interesting that you say that with the bourbon barrels, it's a fresh barrel only burnt once and then used. And what is a barrel that's been used twice or burnt twice or something like, is that just used for regular whiskey or different American whiskey, grades of whiskey?
Yeah, American whiskeys, a lot of them are sent off to, and you got to imagine like Jim Beam and Maker's Mark and Wild Turkey, the big players in the business, they're doing 1,200 barrels a day.
Wow.
And so there's
a lot
of these barrels out there. There's a lot of barrel brokers, blah, blah, blah. But you'll see them also, they'll ship them over to Scotland and or Ireland and for Irish whiskeys or Scotch.
Okay. Yeah.
No kidding. Wow, that's interesting.
Well, that brings another question to my mind, because I have never been able to answer this. Now, all of it has to do with distilled alcohol, correct? Mm-hmm. That's with the basis of a whiskey or a bourbon or
anything.
It
starts vodka, gin.
Right. It all starts with that. And then it's the actual way that it's aged is what causes it to become a bourbon, a whiskey. What's the other kind?
Scotch.
Right. Yeah. Because for our Canadian friends, I love their Crown Royal Canadian whiskey. That's what I drink. And it's definitely different than, not Jim Beam. What's the other whiskey that we have?
Definitely Jim Beam for sure.
It's a lot different. Jack Daniels would be another whiskey.
It's actually a Tennessee whiskey, a sour mash Tennessee whiskey, and not a bourbon.
Right. Mm-hmm. So what makes it bourbon or whiskey or scotch? Is it?
Okay, so I don't know a lot about scotch. I do know that in scotch they use peat, the smoked peat, for that smoked peaty flavor in scotch. To be a bourbon, there's certain rules, and these are man, you want to geek out on bourbon? We can geek out on some bourbon. So, bourbon is the fabric of what built this country. There's a lot of documentaries on it, and watch it. I love the history, and it's actually one of my favorite things about bourbon is the history of it. You're going back to before the Prohibition, Jim Beam, 1795 in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And at that time, Kentucky was actually Virginia. So in the northern, and why it became bourbon, there's arguments. Actually, I did a sign for Bernie Lovers. He is the global brand ambassador for Heaven Hill Distillery, which is Evan Williams, Larceny, those brains. I did a sign for him. You see him on my website. Nice. Anyway, he will tell you bourbon, the name bourbon came from Bourbon County, Kentucky. Now, Michael Veatch, who is a bourbon historian, he's going to tell you that that's not what it is. When they were making bourbon and bourbon back then, they were making whiskey, and they would take him on the Ohio River over to the Mississippi River, go down past St. Louis, down to New Orleans, and they would take it, and it would be on Bourbon Street. Yep. And on the barrel, it would say bourbon whiskey, and then they would start saying, okay, well, the guys would come into a bar, and that at that time they didn't have bottles, it was a barrel, it was a cask at the bar,
right?
And they drew it off the cask, and they would see on the cask and it would say bourbon whiskey, which is Bourbon County, is what Bernie will tell you. And but Michael will tell you, no, it was on Bourbon Street, and they wanted that good old Kentucky bourbon.
Nice.
Gotcha.
There's a lot of history. A lot of history.
I always wondered, because that's funny, because now I've actually been to Bourbon Street several times, and I always wondered, like, why exactly it was called Bourbon Street. And that's a really cool story, actually.
Most of the bourbons, the whiskeys and bourbons would go down to the river and, they're in casks.
Cool. Nice. That's pretty awesome. I had no idea that was the history.
Another little story about it, too, and it goes back to the charring, right? So mm-hmm. back in those days, they would make, in Kentucky, they had an abundance. They grew corn, right? So come wintertime, they had the corn as much as they needed. Well, they had the extra, and it wouldn't last. So that's when they started distilling the corn into whiskey. And that kept, you had a tangible product that you could keep, and it wouldn't rot or go bad. So how would they store it? They would have barrels that would have like pickles or whatever in it. Well, you didn't want your bourbon your whiskey to taste like that. So they would fire it. They put it on the fire it and char it. And that's where all that begins.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Now, listen, I'm not no expert in this stuff, but I geek out on it. And I might not even tell you the correct exact way, but that's how I remember it.
Well, listeners, if you want to, you know, dispute him, don't forget to, you know, you can leave a response or, a comment or something.
Please do let us know if you think that he's full of shit or do you think he's right on.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to watch a really good show there on, I believe it's on actually YouTube. Watch the documentary called Neat, The Story of Bourbon. That they'll tell you a lot right there.
Cool. I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah, it's really cool.
All right, good.
Very good. So I'm going to try and let's go back to you not using a CNC machine because I just find it fascinating that, well, I mean, if you know what a bourbon barrel looks like or a whiskey barrel, they're curved. So, I mean, you could do it with the CNC, but it's
there's a profile.
That's a heavy curve.
That would be a really bad curve to stick. I mean, I guess, you know, if you're good with CNC machines, you could do it. But so what kind of bits? Not that we're trying to get a sponsor at all, but do you use Porter Cable? Do you use, you know, Rigid? So what is your go-to?
Router?
Router.
And my go-to is Bosch.
Okay.
I actually have two Bosch hand routers. I'm in several sign carving groups. A lot of people use the DeWalt WD611 or whatever it is.
Right.
To be honest with you, the only reason I got that Bosch is I wanted a router right now, and that's all that Lowe's had that day, so I bought a Bosch.
That makes sense. Is it battery operated or is it? I mean, usually palm routers are
corded right now. I'm corded right now.
Okay.
But I do have plans of going to cordless because I want to take my shop on the road, like the bourbon festivals and stuff like that.
Okay.
Cool. So to be cordless is going to be, and I haven't had any use of them yet, but from what I understand, they work great. They run out of power pretty fast for what we do.
Right. Well, because you're spending hours on,
right,
you know, a barrel and, you know, carving out that sign. And you had mentioned earlier that you have a Cricut. So I know what a Cricut is.
Yep.
But how does it work carving it? I mean, is it the size of the, I mean, I understand it's the size of the bit that using.
You mean the Cricut carving it or no. Router?
The router, because he basically makes the stencil in Cricut, right?
Yes.
And then you put it on top of the barrel, and then you use that to out the barrel.
See if you guys can see that. Yeah, so this is one I'm working on right now for Old Elk Distillery for their tasting room in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Nice.
So this, I did the stencil vinyl on my Cricut.
Right.
I cut it out, I'll lay this down on there, and then I'll spray it black, this black spray, pull all the vinyl off, and then obviously it's on there. Now.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying now.
I'm gonna see if I can't. So when I'm carving, obviously my base is flat, right?
Right.
This curvature. And to be honest with you, when I first started doing it, I felt like it's going to drop off. It's just going to fall off.
Right.
But I guess I've done so many of them now, it don't bother me anymore.
So you're basically
getting used to it.
Yeah. So you're basically the Cricut, it's a stencil. And then when you peel off the backing, you're left with the stencil that sits on it, correct?
Correct.
And then
I spray it with flat black primer.
Mm-hmm.
That way it doesn't get gummy.
Gotcha.
Just a light coat, and then that's going to leave the image on the wood. And then I carve that image.
Okay, so do you peel up the little pieces that are left over? Okay. Yeah. So that leaves you. So basically, you're making a really big step. Oh, good God, that's got to be a pain in the butt.
Well, I used to do it by hand. I would print it on paper and cut it out with a razor blade.
Right.
This actually, to be honest, this image I did today, and it took me almost 3 hours just to weed out all this stuff.
Right. I can't imagine.
All blue. Imagine it being all blue, and I had to take all that stuff out.
Holy crap. You got to put that on your Instagram page so our listeners can go check that out, because listeners, you should see this. It is detailed. There are two elks, it looked like.
Yeah.
And it is incredible on the amount of detail that you're going to have to go through that, Matt, too.
Yeah. If you go on my YouTube channel, and I know you guys have talked about this before with your other shows, and guys, listen, I'm not a YouTuber at all. The only reason I have a YouTube channel is for my customers, really. It's for me. So I can document it and you know, my kid can go see it later on in life or whatever, see what I've done. But what I do is I take a series of photos and videos throughout every build I do, from the original barrel all the way to finished product. So that if you order a sign from me, you get the video of the making of, from raw whiskey barrel to finished product, which is really cool, because I have done a lot of gifts,
right,
and memorial pieces, things like that. People that gave something to them, then they can give them the YouTube link and see how their sign was actually made.
I like that. And I did go through and watch your channel, and the videos are very short, but I think you're probably one of the first people that I've ever met or talked to in the very least recently that's used the videos on YouTube as a marketing tool or as a promotion for their product, instead of just like specifically to make content, you know, longer format content. And I thought that was really interesting and a really good idea. And I remember way back in the day, people used to do that and use it as a promotional tool, and then it became more of an entertainment format. And I think it's cool that you do that, that you do take the pictures, the short clips of video. I saw the video that you did of the Jim Beam sign, and that's why I was so curious about it, because you know, I saw you routing it out and the level of detail, and it is curved, and I couldn't figure out what the red part was at first. I thought it was just paint, but then I saw that it was flat, and so that you tell me is actually wax, which is really cool.
It's actually, I don't know, not really flat. It still goes to the contour.
It's got a curve to it.
It's got a contour. Like I thought it was flat, and then I see that it is, you know, curved.
Well,
and it
is a barrel, so
it is a barrel. Yeah. So, I thought it was just made to look like a barrel, but it's actually a curved barrel.
You can see the, when you're talking about the detail, these letters, that by the size of my, it's smaller than the size of my fingernail.
Yeah, it's the intricate detail that goes into making these is just incredible. So you guys got to go check him out on, you know, YouTube, Instagram, and his website at oldmanbaysigns.com. Just giving you another shout out there.
I appreciate that.
No
Keep
problem.
Keep going. I need orders. Right,
yeah, now, okay, so this is one of the... We actually got a comment from one of our previous guests that said, do we ask the hard questions? And I was like, we don't ask hard questions at all, but this is might be a little hard question. How much do you charge for, let's say, the Jim Beam barrel that you have on display? I mean, you don't have to give it. You can give us a ballpark.
Well, I'll give you the exact number. I don't mind at all.
Okay.
But to preface that is to say that all my signs are custom made. So right. To have a set dollar value, I can't do that really.
No, you can't because there's so much because you probably pay yourself by the hour of working on the sign, blah, blah, blah. So the more detail that you put into it, the higher the value of the product is.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, but are we talking hundreds of dollars? Are we talking $100 or are we talking like $1,000?
My signs range between $200 to $400.
Okay.
And there's been a couple, maybe more.
Gotcha. So that's a
now, pretty... And we talked about before the show, the Cass Haley sign. That was a 4-foot by 4-foot sign, very intricate. The carving took, just the center carving took me almost 12 hours. That sign would have been like $1,300 to $1,400.
Right.
But that was almost probably 3 weeks of work.
Right.
2 weeks, 3 weeks of work.
Yeah. So this one thing, you can get backed up really quick.
Yeah.
You know, especially. So is your busiest time Christmas time or is it actually like St. Patrick's Day because of all the, you know, alcohol?
You know, I haven't had a real busiest time. To be honest with you, everything's been pretty
consistent.
Yeah. One after the other, maybe. Actually, I find myself doing. Well, you mentioned my Jack Daniel's sign, and the Jim Beam one. To be honest with you, is I didn't have anything going on. I didn't have no work to do. Nobody. Right. I didn't have any orders, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just gonna bust something out that I want to do, and I know that we'll sell.
Right.
And of nice. Course, they both done very well.
Yeah, that's excellent. The one thing that you really don't want to have hanging around your house is inventory.
No.
You know, I mean, you got to have something to show people. But, you know what I mean? It's just if you have too much inventory in your house, you're like, you're not making any money.
It's not going out. And the other thing for me as well has been, I only started carving signs. I mean, literally doing sign work in November of 2018. And I guess that kind of goes back in. I don't know if you guys had any plan of when to talk about this, but in November of 2018 is when I was diagnosed with PTSD, anxiety, depression, and all that stuff. And it took me out of my work, and this became literally my therapy. So I started in 2018, and that started with a simple little, you know, welcome signs, and everything progressed from there. But carving signs with a router, I didn't start that until later into 2019. Wow. I've only been carving for about a little over a year, maybe.
Wow.
That's pretty recent.
That's pretty recent. And you're very talented for just being, you know, that recent.
I appreciate it.
I mean, a lot of your stuff is it's really, really nice.
It really is. And do you feel like with diving into the PTSD,
yep.
that it's because that you had that, like, and we had talked before about it being your therapy. It's because that you were using it as your therapy to kind of get through your battle with PTSD that how you've been able to grow as fast as you have, you think?
Yes, I do think so, because it was, you know, like I said, in November of 2018, when I was diagnosed, I was out. I didn't go back to work. So literally, I was in a very bad place. I was a very dark place. I've said openly I was suicidal. I was just in a bad, bad place. Right. Nightmares and everything that goes with PTSD. So blinds are drawn. I want the house black. I didn't get off the couch. Just bad place. So
yeah,
the sign came into effect with my wife. That, and when you said family member, it was actually my wife. And she said, hey, can you, you know, can you make this for me? And I'm like, okay. So I went out to the garage and that's what I did. I made her a sign. I made one for her, one for my mom, one for her sister. I'm like, all right, that's pretty cool. And then I made her another sign. And then, and I don't even, my brain was just, I was out there, right? And right. I didn't even understand what was going on. And it was literally, it was her getting me off the couch. Get up, get moving, find do a something. Purpose, do something. You got to get up. And it took me actually quite a while into my sign making and being in the garage for the light switch to go off. Man, she was doing something for me and I didn't even realize it. So
they always are, aren't they?
Yeah. She's obviously my best friend and takes care of me and love her to death.
Oh, that's the way it should be. I've had the opposite.
I hear that. I relate to that at least.
I've had the opposite. And
what I found, because I was reading your bio, what I find interesting is that your wife, she's a nurse. She's an RN, right?
Yeah.
My girlfriend, she's an MP over at, and she deals, she does IR, so interventional radiology. So like yours, like these amazing, incredible women that go to work every day and save lives, you know, and they're saving our lives on a daily basis too.
Right. I always say I'm her nurse. She works with brain injuries. So
right.
Brain and spinal cord injuries. And God, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but she says she loves her crazies because they are the crazy.
There you go, Jacob.
No, I mean,
I'm her number one. I'm her number one patient. I'm her exactly. craziest.
Exactly. That's how it needs to be. My girlfriend, she deals with strokes and clots, usually like clots that are going to the brain.
Yep, yep. Patients too.
Yeah, and she does. She's done a myriad of other patients too, but that's the majority of what she deals with right now. But she'll tell me all the stories about like the different patients that she has and like the old ones, the young ones.
Never use his name because that's against HIPAA.
Exactly. Yep. Never. can't know the names. But
they can tell the stories though.
Yeah, she tells me all the crazy shit that happens in their job. I'm like, Jesus Christ Almighty.
Yeah,
the stuff that you deal with.
So, right. Sorry, John. I know you guys are going on about your wives.
We were bonding, sir.
Yeah, you were, and I kind of feel left out. But I do want to know, since we have covered this topic one or two times, what was the catalyst, if you don't mind, what was the catalyst that basically put you over the edge? I mean, being a firefighter for 25 years, I mean, you've seen some shit.
Yeah.
And I can just imagine, I mean, in some ways, our firefighters and our police have seen more action. Actually, I will say this. They have seen more action than I have, and I was in the military for 20 years. So they have seen more action on a daily basis than I did in 20. So,
yeah,
I mean,
and that seems like a common stigma. And I'm sorry to interrupt here too. That PTSD only happens to people that are in the military too, which is not true at all.
No, it's not, because they used to call it shell shocked, is what it used to be called in World War II. Used to be called shell shocked, and then it started being PTSD. Really didn't come into the vernacular until pretty much the Gulf War, because people were coming back from Vietnam and Korea, and they were like, what's the matter with him? Oh, he was in the war, and that was it.
And now they're trying to military guys I know is they're trying to get rid of the D. It's PTS. Why is it a disorder? It's not a disorder. It's a syndrome. It's not a disorder.
No, it could be considered a disease to some extent.
Some say that.
I look at a depression as a disease because. You can never be cured of it.
No.
It's always there. But what can happen is they could teach you better coping skills.
That's right.
And the better you understand your own brain, the better you are at dealing with whatever kind of mental ailment that you have. Is if you submerge yourself and find out why, then it helps figure out, then you help figure out
The healing.
the healing portion of it. And it seems like so far, knock on wood, Lord be with you kind of thing, that it keeps helping you, because that's your therapy is going out in the garage.
Yes,
So
absolutely.
what part of your actual carving is the therapy, or is it just everything? You putting on the headphones, going out in the shop, listening to some tunes and just carving away?
That's
Or
exactly
is it
it.
just the vibration of the router? Or it's just everything put together? Because I know that there have been experiments with noise generators, where and then colors, like green is supposed to be the like a neutral color that's calming, or is it pink? I can't remember. I think it's pink. But anyway, there's a color. Anyway, there's a color for it. So, I mean, what do you think?
For me, it's the just putting my tune, because I do, I go out and listen. I'm a guy of the 80s and 90s. I still love my metal hair bands, and so I go out there and just by myself. I don't have anybody else around me, and I jam out and I'm focused, actually. And I will say, a lot of people have reached out to me, like we were talking about before the show, and said, I appreciate you sharing your story, blah blah blah. And it's you're laser focused, because you have to be, right? I mean, you got
Right.
the router going to town, and boy, you sure don't want to mess that up,
Yeah, you
when
have
you're
a like
getting
what? It's a 1 horsepower motor going at like
65,000.
65,000 RPMs, and it could hurt you if you're not careful.
Well, and like this, you take this sign right here, and I get all this done, and then I get down here and I screw it up. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got to be super focused. And when you're that focused and you're jamming out and you're doing your thing, or even, sometimes I like it just in the quiet. But when you're that focused, you don't think about other things. That's all I'm thinking about is my sign and making sure I do a good job. You asked about the catalyst, though. It was obviously it was my career, and it actually took a lot of veterans that I've talked to. When I got diagnosed with PTSD, I'm like, "What? It's a military thing, man." And it took friends that are in the military to say, "Shut up." I done 4 tours. I did 2 tours. I did 6. Yes, I saw some bad shit, but you've been doing this your whole life. I mean, like I said, I started when I was 16 years old, and then I did professionally for over 25 years. And they train you and train you and train you how to do your job, but we don't really train how to take care of the brain. And grow, and literally, you go back 25 years. Hell, I'm an old guy now, but the old guys before me, you didn't, you don't talk about it. You never, you, nobody was going to raise their hand. And it wasn't the fire department's fault. I won't say that, because they would bring in people and say, "Hey, are you okay? That was a fucked up call. So are you okay?" And nobody's going to raise their hand and say, "Yeah, man,
That was horrible.
I'm messed up. I'm having bad dreams. I'm this and that." But I'm a fireman. I'm a tough guy. Nah,
It
you didn't do that.
wasn't manly back then.
That's right. So, and so for me, now that I can sit, and believe me, I did a couple podcasts, and I stopped myself every once in a while, and I'm sorry. It's tough to talk about,
Oh,
but
yeah.
I feel that it needs to be talked about. And to tell veterans or first responders, cops, firemen, anyone, if you have a mental illness or whatever, don't don't hide. Don't put your head in the sand. Confront it. Go find your help. Get some help and find something that's going to get you through it. Maybe it's not carving wood. Maybe it's a, I don't know what it is. Play a musical instrument or whatever it is. Find your thing. And that's going to make you stop focusing for, if not a minute, on what is tearing you apart to something that could be good. So,
well, and the other thing that most people did when it was, you know, back in the day, when it was the suck it up generation, you know, suck it up, buttercup, you know, that's just the way things are, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. The problem with it is people would self-medicate, mainly with alcohol. But there are some that, you know, use drugs or illicit drugs or, you know, hardcore drugs or even over-the-counter prescriptions. And, you know, that's the way they dealt with it. But that was, it's not a healthy thing, as you know.
No.
It's, you know, it actually screws up your liver, and it's not good to self-medicate.
I can tell you when, before I actually got diagnosed, I had a very bad mental breakdown. Mm-hmm. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, getting ready to get on a plane to come home on a red eye, and snapped right there in the middle of the airport in Atlanta, Georgia, and I couldn't get on the plane. I was freaking out. I was just crying like a little girl, and you, I mean, you could have held a gun to my head. There was no way I was getting on that damn plane. My wife happened to fly down the next morning. I got a hotel room. I mean, just sat, and I don't mind telling you guys this. I laid in bed and I cried all night, and she picked me up, and we didn't even get out of Georgia. And I couldn't even be in the car. My anxiety and I don't even understand what's even going on. It's just so nuts. And I don't even know what it is. But I got to, we had to stop at a hospital, and they medicated me. And next thing I know, I woke up in St. Louis. But that started the diagnosis, the treatments, the everything that I've been doing for the last couple of years. But I didn't know the signs of it coming. I was having horrible nightmares. I couldn't sleep. I would get hammered, man, and that's really
the only way to kill the pain.
Sleep.
So, the only way to kill the pain, and that's what I used to do. That's, I didn't drink to forget. I drank to sleep.
Yeah, me too.
And it's horrible when you have insomnia. And you just can't shut your brain off. That's one of the bad things about it. Is
not today. I still have the same thing. It's not nearly as bad. And of course, I have medication now, and I'm still continuing my therapy with my doctor, and my work obviously is. That was the hardest thing for me too. Is, you know, you've done something all your entire life, literally my life. Fighting fire, and what now?
Right.
What now? I'm nothing. I have nothing. I have no skills. I have nothing to go back on. What is my life going to be? And that was a hard thing to deal with. So this hobby is, it gave me purpose again. It really did. It makes me feel like, there's nothing better than to sit on this show with you guys or anybody else, or and do a piece of work and hand this to someone, and they're like, that is amazing, and it just feels good, you know. I needed that.
And I tell you, like, the work that you do is amazing, and I said this before, you should be extremely proud of all the work that you do, because everything that I've seen has been phenomenal.
And I'm not patting myself on the back. I am very proud of my work. It is, and shit. Tell me 20 years ago that you're going to be a sign maker and you're going to do whiskey rolls. Really? No, I will tell you, I do have a little bit of a background. In high school, I loved art. I actually went to college, which I didn't want to do, but I was going to major in art and firefighting. it didn't work out. So I've always loved art. My mom and dad owned a stripping and refinishing company when I was in high school. So I had that woodworking background with them.
I was gonna ask you that too, if you had any previous background with the woodworking or finishing side of it.
Mom and dad, like I said, they had an antique shop and a stripping and refinishing company when we were in school. And this is probably what leads to my hatred of sanding, because guess whose job that was? Mine.
A long, deep-seated hatred.
Oh, man, I tell you what, it's a funny story, actually. I remember when mom and dad bought the shop, and they said, okay, here, you're gonna learn how to sand. And they gave me a table, and I sanded and sanded and sanded. And I was like really proud of myself. Boy, look at this thing. It's so smooth. Yeah, I sanded all the veneer down to the bottom. And they're like, what did you do? I'm like, look how smooth that thing is. They're like,
smooth. Ain't it nice?
Yeah, well, they had to they had to replace the top on a customer's table.
Wow.
I learned a lot about sanding, though.
Yeah, your hatred for it.
Yeah, amazing. Yes.
Yep. Well, speaking about hatred, I really hate that we have to do this, but we do have to take a break to give our sponsors a second to, you know, pay our bills. So we will be right back with Matt from Old Man Bay's Signs. If you are in need of a little happy artwork for your home, office, or shop, then be like Jacob and I and many others by stopping by the Creative Ward Gallery on Instagram and Facebook. There you will find many beautiful Bob Ross inspired artworks by the very talented Marion Ward. All are hand painted and no two are exactly the same. So join Jacob and I in our support of this happy little art gallery by picking up your work of art, or work of Marion in this case, for your space or as a gift for family or friends. You won't be disappointed. Mention our podcast and you'll get free shipping in the United States. That's the Creative Ward Gallery on Facebook and Instagram. Has your cutting board seen better days? What about those pesky sweat rings on your fine furniture? Do you like to read but find it difficult to hold the book open without your hands getting cramped? Well, friends, we have the place for you. Search Handmade by Vincent Ferrari on your favorite web browser, where his motto is custom for everyone. Whether it's custom woodwork, laser engraving, or jewelry, what you want is only a request away. So visit friend and supporter of the show, Vincent Ferrari, on Instagram and the World Wide Web. Mention code MFIO and Vincent will give you 10% off.
I'm Tony Langer of Langerwork.
I'm Steve Ramsey.
I'm Emmett from Dead Rise Woodcrafts, and I'm a maker, and I'm figuring it out.
And we're back. So we still got Steve here. We have our guest, Matt Bay from Old Man Bay Signs. But before we get back into talking with our wonderful guests, we'd just like to plug our upcoming challenge, right?
Right. Steve? What is it? We don't know yet. We're still trying to figure it out.
We're figuring that out. We're working out the final details of that. We've been brainstorming a lot. We really want to make sure it's a really cool, unique, interesting challenge that people can really kind of get into.
And we also wanted to make it a little bit of a... going along the lines of this show. So it'll be, you know, the makers figuring it out challenge, something along those lines. We don't know what the challenge is right now, but I digress. Jacob, tell us about, hey, what's coming up, man? We got a spectacular thing coming up.
We do. We have our 52nd episode coming up, which would mean that we've been doing this podcast, or at least we have enough episodes for each week of a year. So we've been doing this podcast for about a year now, or coming up on a year.
Really close.
And so we're going to have a really cool anniversary episode coming up with that. Some particular flashbacks to an episode zero that no one's gotten the chance to listen to yet, featuring yours truly.
As our first test subject. So it's going to be quite, Indeed. It'll be quite interesting. I let Jacob earlier before we started the show, we were, banging heads together and trying to, figure out, some things, and I let him listen to all the little clips and
some of them were bringing back memories. Others, the audio was so atrocious that I was like,
it was so bad. But anyway, but that's coming up. So we want to, once again, plug that.
Exactly. Everyone get hyped. And one last thing before we get back into our guests, we want to thank our sponsors on Buy Me a Coffee. We got Tony from Langer Works, who was on last week. And then we got David from First Two Woodworks, who was also one of our previous guests. Both of them are supporters of us on Buy Me a Coffee, and we're very appreciative of both of them. And if you want to support us, we have a link in the show notes. And also, you can find the link on our Instagram page on our Linktree URL.
Yep. And just so in case you didn't you missed the commercials, I want to give a shout out to Vince Ferrari and Marion Ward. They also sponsor us on Anchor. So you can sponsor us in many places. So we want to thank them once again, because without their help, we wouldn't be able to buy stickers.
Exactly. You guys help make the show possible.
And those are coming out. So I just want to throw in another note. Sorry, Jacob. That anything that you donate to this show will go right back into the show. We're not getting paid for any of this. But we do want to send a call to action, I guess is what they call it now.
Call to action.
Yeah, there you go. We need, so for our challenge, if anybody wants to donate a prize or a gift card or something, please DM one of us on Instagram or send us an email. We've already gotten a couple things, so we appreciate those from the people that are going to be donating to us. So, but if you want to help us out, give away some cool prizes, get some of your merch out there, that kind of stuff, we would really, really, really appreciate it. So, but with that being said.
Yes, with that being said, we can move back into talking with our guests. So, sorry, Matt. Sorry, that I feel like that took a little bit, but, you know, things that need to be done.
Steve, good. And Steve talks too much sometimes.
Steve does talk too much. It's a constant battle, let me tell you. For anyone out there that's listening, believe me, I know.
Hey.
I know. Oh, the feels.
Words cut deep, man. They cut deep.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm
going to need to go have some alcohol or something. I don't know. Oh, I know what I can. I know what I can have. Never mind. We digress. Back into the show.
I know what you're talking about, dude. Uh-huh. So, Matt, we've talked about, you know, we've talked about PTSD, depression, anxiety. We've talked about, you know, how you started. We talked about some of your projects. Where do you really get your inspiration from for a lot of your pieces? Is it all just based on what the customer wants, or is it, do you ever just have an idea in your head that really needs to just screams to be made?
Pretty much, it's mostly, like I said, most of my stuff is all custom made. There's been, like I said, a couple times where I was downtime. I did the Jack Daniels piece and I did the Jim Beam piece. I think nothing really screams to me, hey, I got to get this made. No, I take that back. Any maker knows you have your idea just running rampant. But the, I think the motivation for me is, man, if I don't have nothing right now, what can I do that I want to do using new techniques or what can sell?
Gotcha. Like always kind of, I like the new, I can definitely identify with the new techniques. Is someone else pointed out to me that I never do the same project twice, which is, because I like trying a whole bunch of new different things. I like making different things and trying new techniques and just trying to learn as much as I can. And I find it way more fun and interesting that
way. Yeah, absolutely. And like, I find also my creativity in the signs, even I've done a few whiskey barrels that were for home bars. And I get a lot of people, I mean, obviously, logo's a logo, right? You're not going to deviate from that. But the home bar people, they say, well, I kind of want this and I kind of want that. And I'm like, just give me your ideas and I'll take those. And then I'm going to put something together and show them what I come up with. And Every time I've done that, they're like, what? That's, I had no idea that that was what it was going to be.
And you're like, that's more than I even wanted.
Exactly. Right. Yep.
Do you find it easier when you do lead the customer that way instead of letting them make every decision?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
I'm sorry, do you find it easier and like just easier for all parties concerned when you lead the customer as far as like a lot of the design choices instead of letting them do every decision?
Oh boy. Absolutely. I've had a couple, what's the politically correct way to say this?
Jackasses. Nut
jobs. That just.
Nut jobs is definitely politically correct.
Wow. And yeah, they're fun to work with, not. And it's easy. It's better that just let me do my job. Trust me, you'll like it.
Exactly. Like, I'm here. You're paying me good money for my expertise, for my time. Just right. Let me do my thing.
Well, and I definitely, you listen to the customer and you make it as best as you can for them within the realm that they want to do. Right. But
right.
You can throw some creativity in there and they have to give you that ability to have that creative ability to go off the script, I guess, if you will, of what they thought they wanted to do something else. As long as they let you do that, great.
At least they give you free rein.
And I find most of the time they do.
Well, that's always nice because you just hate when people are like, nope, I wanted this in this color. Can you make it an orange instead of red?
Oh, yeah, I tell you, I guess another part of that is too, during the process, so if it's not a logo, if you wanted something done, when I'm doing my layouts, I'll give them like three or four different, I'll lay it out three, four different ways.
Right.
Maybe three or four different fonts or pictures or what have you, right? So they have a decision to make, and now it's their decision. They thought of that, right? So, and then they're more happy about it.
Right. They feel more included in the process. And once it's done, they feel like that's, they have the control in it where, you're actually leading them where you want them to do, but not in a bad way. Like you just kind of want them to leading them towards a decision, like more quickly that that they'll be satisfied with because it's a decision, even though you've laid out like these set options that they are happy with because they made the decision.
That's right. And just like text and fonts, right? There's certain fonts that are easier for me to carve than others. So when I give you four different options, guess what options you're going to get?
Right.
The four ones that I like because they're easier to carve. You know what I mean? But if they want something, the other side of that is if they said, hey, listen, I really like this font and they showed me something, I'm going to do that.
Right. Exactly. Cool. Like you're not opposed to whatever input that they have.
No, absolutely not. It's their sign.
So do you use, what do they call it? V-carve bits or? I don't know if they're getting technical.
No, I use, I get all my bits and from makewoodsign.com, the guy I told you about, and they're Amana bits.
Mm-hmm.
They're amazing bits. They have a profile bit. Let's see, a profile, a 90 degree, a 60 degree, a carving liner, and the spiral upcut.
Okay. So when you do the, like the Jim Beam barrel that's behind you,
yes,
you put the stencil on it, take the stencil off, then you spray paint it, then you take the little, then you take the stencils off of this, and then it leaves you with the spray paint, or the negative.
The image.
Right. So when you carve out the letters, what do you fill it in with? I know that we were talking earlier in the pre-show about the Jim Beam. The actual letters on that were actually like gold leaf or gold liquid leaf.
You said liquid gold leaf, which I thought was really cool. Cause I asked you if it was gilding, cause the shine on that is what really made me think of that. Cause you only get that really from gilding. And I had no idea that they made liquid gold leaf.
My brother, it's kind of funny. My brother actually went to school to be a graphic artist, and he is an amazing, talented artist. And he actually called me one day and said, hey, you want me to come up here and show you how to do gold leaf? I'm like, no. Because have you guys ever done any gold leafing? You got to put the glue down and then the gold leaf, and it goes everywhere.
Yeah.
Maybe someday, not now. this is just, it looks great and it's easier to do. So
yeah, because I didn't know if, you know, you put epoxy in them or, because honestly,
I had not.
I have been trying to figure out, imagine that. I want to do a logo, my logo for my shop one of these days. And I wanted to
sign carver.
And I wanted to and I wanted to figure it out on my own and actually do it by hand instead of using a CNC. So I may be contacting you.
Yeah.
But my sign or my logo, there's a lot of different colors in it that would look really kind of cool. But yeah, you're definitely gonna be my hand carving guy.
So this, I guess I can explain it a little bit there. This type of a letter, the way I carve it is, obviously I just went around the letters, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that is called an inset. Okay. These, I went around, that's outset. So they're up. You know what I'm saying? Inset, right. Outset. Right.
Gotcha.
So like the Jim Beam is inset, and then the
logo or
the letters in the center, in the center with the ribbon are outset.
Are raised, right. Yeah.
And then all this area where the red is, I took out with a spiral upcut bit, just a flat bottom.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Very good.
But then if you look at some of my other signs, one of the greatest ones, and man, I don't have anything here with it. You'll see that it's like a texture look, like
all yes. These, I've seen.
People are like, oh my gosh, how did you do that? It's tough. That is really, really hard. It's hard work.
Yeah, I was looking at one of those on your Instagram page, and it looks like a bunch of little dots inside the inlay. And I was like, and I was thinking to myself, oh, maybe he's going to pour that is for the epoxy to grab a hold of when he pours it in. And then I looked at
your background.
Yep. And then I looked at it and went, oh man, he did that on every letter. And I was like, that must have taken forever. But I mean, you are definitely, you know, you're my inspiration for today, because I'm like, wow, that would be really cool. And the kind of the lucky thing for you is not too many people are doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Like I said, you can find single barrels. I'm not going to name any companies, but you can find like a bit single barrel stave. And get your name and say established 2020.
Right.
And right. It's laser engraved. And you're going to pay about probably anywhere from 80 to $100 or more for one stave. And there's some, you'll find some that are done with CNC machines, like barrel heads that are done with CNC machines. It's just not my gig.
Right. Hey, you got to do what you feel is right.
That's like I said, we call ourselves the Minions, the Make a Wood Sign Minions, and they Eric always says, you know, find your niche, and I don't believe that. I believe your niche will find you.
That I agree with, because I mean, you'll see. I mean, Jacob knows this. He does so many different things on his YouTube channel that. Not one thing is exactly the same as something else. So, you know, that could be one thing that Jacob likes. And, you know, he probably doesn't know what the hell he's doing yet. So that's probably why he's just experimenting all over the place.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it's kind of goes back to that thing. Like, I'm just really trying to find my niche, and I'm trying to find what I really like to do. And I'm starting to hone in on it. Maybe even if it's like a couple of different things that I like to do, like even just as, you know, either together or separate. Like I'm just, I didn't really want to limit myself. I'm like, I only do this one kind of project, or there's only one, you know, like I only do workbenches, or I only do like cutting boards, or only that to me was boring. There's so many things that you could do. I really wanted to put my hand in and try a lot of different things to really see what it is that I like, you know?
And there's really a lot of people out there doing those things too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've kind of, at this point today, I've kind of limited myself as well. My niche is obviously the whiskey barrel signs, right? But I've recognized that, and I'm going to my future plans. I want to I'm going to expand into wine barrel science, and the wine. I want to get into wine barrel science, and also I want to get into, like I said, I kind of mentioned that earlier. I think is to actually take my shop on the road. Nice. People really enjoy watching me work. When they stop in the shop and they see are that my videos of me doing it. And so the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, fingers crossed, I get into that. So, but there's several bourbon festival, wine festival things that are out there that could possibly, you know, that's my market. That,
right.
You know, that those are the people that I need to get in front of.
And you also and you want to have too many orders than you could produce at one at any given time, because you can only make one sign at a time.
You know, there's and yeah, exactly, and you know I'm a one guy shop, so
yeah.
You so want it? You're on a way. There's do you guys have you ever watched Craftsman's Legacy with Eric Gorgeous?
I cannot say that I have.
Okay, well, I don't think I have you either. Do that. That dude, he is awesome. He has a show called Craftsman's Legacy. And there was a guy on there, and this is my goal. This is where I want to be. He makes handmade guitars. And these big stars are trying to get his guitars. I don't care if you're famous. You're going to wait on the list just like everybody else.
Right.
And I think he had his wedding list was about 8 years right now. I'm like, wow.
Eight years. That's insane.
That really is. But that means
he's incredible, right?
But you got to,
that tells you what kind of product is that guy making.
Yeah. Or it just takes that long to make one.
Right. I don't see myself getting to that point, but it would be nice to listen. And I know I listened to one of your guys' podcast before, and you were talking about your marketing and what you do and how you do it. And I have a little bit of a marketing background. I'm a marketing manager for a buddy's bar, and I was doing it. I did it for a couple of nonprofits. So for me, it was a kind of why am I doing this for everybody else and I'm not doing it for myself?
Right.
Yeah, right. So then I did. So I get up in the morning. First thing I do is grab a cup of coffee and I do networking and do my Instagram and social media, YouTube, do all that stuff. And what used to take me a little while is now taking me till 10 o'clock in the morning before I can even get in the shop. But then you come in at night and what do? You do some more marketing or networking or whatever you want to call it. But you keep pushing and asking and things will come.
That's right. Never doubt the power of marketing or just putting yourself in front of the eyes of as many people as you can. Because that's truly, that's what, especially when you're in the business of selling something, that's what matters. You need to get your product in front of as many eyes as you can to be able to get orders.
Especially in a niche market like I'm in. I'll be honest with you, it's been pretty tough to get into that place, but I'm getting pretty well known in the bourbon field, I guess, industry. Believe me, my mom said it don't hurt to ask. All I can do is say no. So I send messages out to my LinkedIn page. I've got 350 some people of the top leaders in the bourbon industry right now. And you know, it's just going out and asking, and eventually you're going to get a yes.
Exactly. Like number, in this case, numbers are on your side.
Yep. I did that with my wives too.
On that note,
there you go. See how I, if you can't segue,
a bullet conversation. Exactly.
Yep. You just spit something out and it changes the whole aspect of everything. That's what I'm here
for. On that note, so transitioning into our next segment, which is going to be our maker shout outs. And so, Matt, you've had the whole show. I hope you didn't forget about it, because as always, it's only polite and tradition for us to let our guests go first. So who is your maker shout out for today?
Man, that is so simple and for me, and I didn't even have to think about it. This guy, he is my, like I've mentioned him several times within this podcast. He is my mentor. He taught me, showed me how to do everything. We're really good friends now. I'm wearing his hat right now.
Yeah, I see
Eric that. Roden at makeawoodsign.com. The dude, him, his wife, Vicky, and his dad, Dave. His dad, Dave, started the business when about 50 years ago, and they're still going at it today. They sell templates. They sell their bits and stuff like that, right? Anything you need except for the router, router bases, and they sell all that stuff on their website. But more importantly is their YouTube channel and Facebook page. They have live videos every day except for Mondays, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, almost. I think they take Monday off. It's pretty much the only day. And
wow.
But they're all about teaching and educating. And if you want to call for any reason, you have a question, you can call the shop. They answer the phone. They'll talk to you and just check them out, man. As a matter of fact, I've kind of hope that maybe you guys will reach out and get him on the show, because he's really a great guy. He, do you know the Maker Summer School that was going to be in Ohio last year? He was with Izzy Swan and
is that the Maker Camp?
Yeah, in Ohio.
I think it is. I think it's the same one.
Actually, it got canceled, but he's going to be one of the instructors there, actually.
Cool. Yeah, we'll definitely.
His YouTube channel, gosh, I don't even know how many he's got on. Well, I know he's got over 1,000-something videos on his YouTube channel. Huge following. Great guy. Great family. That's my guy. Nice. Eric Roten, makeawoodsign.com.
Yeah, we'll definitely reach out to him. We would definitely love to have him on the show. And excellent shout out. Steve, want to go next?
Sure, I'll go next. All right, my
tiny
shout
object.
Out. Tiny, hello, I'm back. I swear, I'm still here. I was actually looking at not yours.
His shout out, yeah.
Yeah, I was actually looking at a shout out, and you didn't give me enough time. So check that out. My shout out is going to be to Brian McAuliffe. I think I'm pronouncing that last name right. It's Brian underscore made it.
Brian made it. Okay.
Yep, Brian made it. He has done some amazing work with there. He had like a 36-inch pizza or not a pizza peel, but I think it's 36-inch diameter charcuterie board. And I saw that and I was like, that is a huge. I don't have that many friends. Although that would be just a plate for me. But two things that, you know, made me, you know, see his, he actually put a video out, and I believe it's actually on YouTube also, but I could be wrong. But it's definitely on his Instagram channel of using using salt and lime to clean up your cutting boards. And And I knew about the salt, because that it's kind of like an abrasive, but it actually can break down into its components, it'll dissolve. But the using the lemon on it, I was like, oh, that is pretty. Because, I mean, lemon, it's an acid, of course. And then you put it with salt, which is salt. And then you get a salty acid and blah, blah, blah. But then that got me looking at his page on Instagram. And, you know, lo and behold, I was like, oh, I need to shout this guy out. But there is kind of funny. He does have he has a mask that actually has, it's a picture of a guy with his nose and beard. And I'm like, I think there's a picture. I'm going to assume, which, you know what happens when you do that, but I'm going to assume it was his wife who had it on. And I just went, that dude is, no, that's not a dude. So it was quite comical for this guy. And you know, I did...
yeah, the...
yeah, there you go. That's, that one.
Yeah, yeah, that's disturbing.
Yeah, that is actually kind of disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
But yeah, check him out.
He's got almost 4,300 followers too.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That was Brian Made It. Brian_made it. Jacob, nice. You got somebody to shout out, or you all shouted out?
No, I got somebody to shout out.
Okay. Who would that be, Jacob? So
that would be the Swedish Maker. So
the Swedish Chef.
I don't re. No, not the Swedish Chef. The Swedish Man. I am the Swedish Chef. Right? Shut up. So the Swedish Maker. So I don't recall exactly where I stumbled upon him, but I had his couple of his videos in my saved in one of my watch later lists. So I watched a video about he had this YouTube and Instagram subscriber display that he did, that he actually encoded himself for like an Arduino and made like the box himself and put all the pieces together, which is really cool. And then I saw another video of his that he did with making a mallet, and he has such a really great polish to his videos and a really good style. And he's done several other things, like some stuff like Mario stuff and other like traditional woodworking stuff, and like I think he's made like a wooden horse for like for kids, and he's done like a several different.
You did say things. Horse, not, right?
Yeah, horse.
Okay, just want to make sure. Was it the other word?
Yeah. So like he made a wooden horse for kids, and he's done several different things. Is kind of why I like him and I identify with that as well. Like not doing just one singular thing and being like boring. But he has a really good style, likes personality. He has a really good polish to his videos. He's at 7,000 subscribers, which isn't like, you know, a little like, you know, like maybe some of us here, but it's definitely not with the polish that he has on his videos and like the quality of them, not where I would expect him to be. I truthfully would expect him to be a lot higher, but I like his projects. I like his style, and that's who I'm shouting out.
Well, very good. Yeah, he has, I'm still trying to figure out a bunch of, so he does have 7.11 kilograms.
Kilogram.
Kilo subscribers. 7.1 kilo subscribers. Did it? Kilo.
Oh. On YouTube?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, and holy
crap. Isn't that crazy, though? So 7,000 on YouTube, but he's only got 817 on Instagram.
That's how it works out sometimes. It's amazing. I think it was Brian. He's not that big on, I think he's big on Instagram, but he's not big on YouTube. I mean, I think that's, but anyway.
And sometimes the algorithms work completely different on a lot of these things.
Right.
Most definitely. Part of the conversation, and I'm still here.
So we're at the part where we ask the question.
That's where we're at. I knew it was that question. Is your wife nearby? Because we need it
right over there.
Okay, so then we'll know.
We love it when the spouses are nearby so that we can get an accurate answer.
Hey, if she's here and she wants to, this is not the video doesn't go out. So if she wants to join, so we can have a
that ain't happening.
She's like, no, I just got off of work. I'm not dealing with these random strange ass people. No.
No, I don't blame you, because you know Jacob is a strange ass person.
Shut up.
Yeah, you love me.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying shut up.
True. Well, Angie, if he says anything wrong, you'll let us know, right?
Yes, absolutely.
That works.
There you go. I love the confirmation. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Angie.
I promise me it will, I won't be saying anything wrong.
So, Matt.
Yep.
How did you meet your wife?
In a bar.
Well, that's it, folks. Thanks a lot for
it. thanks so much. No elaboration needed.
No, you know what, Steve? I will go back to you, so you don't feel all alone anymore. I'm also divorced.
Oh, thanks.
Andy is my second wife. I was actually not divorced yet, but separated. And
yeah, because that makes it legal.
Right. But listen, long story short, went to a bar with a buddy that I was living with at the time. I had nowhere to go because I was separated. Anyway, went to the bar, saw her on the dance floor, super good looking gal. I'm like, oh my gosh. And the guy says, hey, do you want to meet her? And I said, no. He's like, dude, she wants to meet you. I was like, I'm married. I'm getting divorced. I don't need that right now. So
I've said that several times.
Next thing I know, she comes over and
I'm not taking no for an answer.
No, I can't tell you the whole story.
So she put the moves on you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one thing led to another kind of deal. That's
the best way for it to happen.
Not one thing led to another. Actually, it's kind of, I guess, a sweet story. We actually went out for coffee afterwards, and we went back to the house. Nothing. And we literally talked. I was actually on duty at the firehouse the next day.
You couldn't drink.
We started at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I had to get – 6 o'clock came, and I'm like, hey, I got to go. I got to go to work. So I went to work. And the next day I was off, and that was a Sunday, and I asked her to come over and watch football and drink beer, and because that's what she likes to do. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, and, baby. Yeah.
That was a Sunday, and we've been together every day since.
Nice.
Very good.
Now that's a love story.
Yep. I like hearing those because that just gives me hope.
That indeed.
I'll find mine someday.
Now, we've been together 19 years.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Now, let's see. If I would have stuck with my first wife.
Oh, she would not like it when I say that.
We would have been married 28 years this coming September. If I would have stayed with my second wife, we would have been married 20 years. Yeah, 20 years in February. And if I would have stuck with my last huge mistake, no, that was going to end. That was going to end badly everywhere. That was just gonna end badly, but yeah, I'm kind of over it now.
I've kind of thrown that out a couple times. Collectively, I would have been married about 26 years so far. That don't go over very good.
No, that doesn't go good. No, I mean total.
Don't say anything that'll get you hurt later, Matt.
It's not gonna get me hurt.
yeah, we're gonna be fine.
Unless
I'm worried about your safety.
Yeah, unless the girl that I've been, you know, hitting on, you know, listens to this podcast for once. And yeah, that'll be fun.
Once, hey, you never know. I mean, I didn't know at first that my girl actually listens to the podcast.
Oh, she does. Does she?
She does.
Oh, does she like when I make fun of you? Or is she mad? Is she mad at me sometimes?
She's not mad at you, but she does think that you have like the brain of a squirrel. You just kind of talk on whatever's on your mind.
Okay, I'll accept that.
I mean, that's not wrong, is it?
Not right either.
Man, I don't know. I listened to a couple podcasts a day, and it was what was I saying? Where was I going? Yeah.
You nailed it on the head, Matt. See, he's already got it, Steve.
Hey, listen, I got that same kind of brain.
I've gotten better. I have gotten 100. I won't say 100%. About 85% better. That's because
You have gotten better since since we decided to put the notes on the screen.
Yeah, I write shit down now. Yeah, then yeah. Oh, you bastards.
I got to get it where I can.
Yeah.
All right. So, but that's a great, that is a great story, Matt. We really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Yes. And did he get it right, Angie?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Okay. As long as he gets it right, we still potentially have a future guest that's not like, you know, buried out somewhere.
Banned from our show. You're never going on there again, you stupid. These guys were horrible.
Say, I can't believe that you said that.
Yep, not that. All right, Jacob.
Yes.
I guess it's time to...
It's that time of the show, right?
It really is. So we want to thank Matt Bays for coming out tonight and spending all this time with us talking about some great topics, some PTSD topics, which are not the greatest topics in the world, but need to be said.
Exactly.
I learned more about whiskey in one night than I have since I've been drinking, which has been probably like 40 years. But I only consumed it. I never really cared about how the sausage was made. But now it's actually kind of fascinating. I knew about the burning of the barrels. I did know that, and it came from here. But Matt, thanks for coming out. We really appreciate it. Hope we can have you back again, and you know, at our 104th show or somewhere around there, because there hopefully will be one of those.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure, man. And like you said, I've learned a lot talking from you, and we hope to definitely talk with you soon. That's definitely, we're going to put that into the books right now and make sure that we stay in touch as well. Because you're a cool dude. I love the sun. You have amazing skills, and I think you just have a lot of value that you can get to anybody that talks to you.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, good luck with good luck with your PTSD and for all your future endeavors. And, you know, keep the nice young lady that decided to marry you, keep her happy.
I'll do my best.
Yeah.
That's the idea. So, gentlemen, should I wrap it up?
Take me home, Jacob. Well, let me go to bed, Jake. Nope.
Oh, God.
Finish the show, man.
Just stop. Okay. Here at Makers Figuring It Out, it is our mission to educate, motivate, and inspire. And we hope we've done that for you today. So this is Matt, Steve, and Jacob reminding you to keep learning, keep being motivated, keep getting inspired, and keep figuring it out. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Shut up.